This is Solve It for Kids.
Hello, my amazing and curious friends. My name is Jennifer, and this is Solve It for Kids, the podcast that gives kids and families a peek inside the real world of scientists, engineers, and experts as they solve problems in their jobs using creativity, cooperation, and critical thinking. And now please welcome to the show my podcast partner, Galactic Space Geek, Jeff Gagne.
Hello, Jennifer. Today we have another exciting episode of Solve It for Kids, and we are going to be talking about an animal that I have never thought about this animal living in this place before.
This is so exciting. What is the question that we're solving today?
What can ancient rhinos tell us about the Midwest?
What can ancient rhinoceros tell us about the Midwest? Oh, this is going to be so cool. Who is our guest today, Jeff?
Our guest today is the awesome Dr. Allison Pierce Stevens, and she is a zoologist and ecologist turned science writer and children's author.
Welcome to the show, Dr. Allison.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, and we're going to talk about rhinoceros. Yay!
We are. But guess about where we're going to talk about rhinos.
So, okay, I know the answer, but if I were going to guess, honestly, I'd say like Africa, maybe?
Yep. Africa or Asia.
Or Asia. Okay. Yep. What do you think, Jeff? Where would you
Africa? Say? Africa would have definitely been my guess.
Okay, but I don't think that's the answer. Where were these rhinoceros found?
These rhinos were found in North America, and they were not in zoos. They were running around wild in big herds all across the middle of North America.
Like buffalo, right? I mean, I know that sounds silly, but that's when you think of big herds of creatures roaming the North America, you think buffalo.
Yes, that's what you hear about.
That's exactly what you can picture.
So let's start from the beginning. So tell us a little bit about how you found out about these rhinos and, you know, how long ago they were here, I guess.
Okay. So I first learned about them because a few years ago, I worked at the State Natural History Museum, the University of Nebraska State Museum, and they actually have three different locations. And one of them is this paleontology site in the middle of Nebraska. It's called the Ashfall Fossil Beds, and there are hundreds of animals there, including lots and lots of rhinos.
What?
So we know that there were rhinos running around Nebraska.
How have I never heard of this thing?
I don't know. Everyone should know about it, but I know
that's
I hadn't heard about it either.
So what kind, like, tell us about the fossils. Did you find like a couple of bones? I mean, what did they find there?
So these fossils, it's actually a really amazing site. It's one of the best paleontology sites in the world. And the reason is because they are complete skeletons and they're not squashed flat or anything. It's like the entire three-dimensional animal is there. Every bone is in place.
Oh my gosh.
And they're all just stacked on top of each other in this ancient waterhole.
That's like a paleontological gold mine.
Right.
Yes, it was.
It's like a museum that's waiting out there. Wow.
Okay. So how did they discover this initially? I mean, were the fossils always visible or did they have to actually dig to get to them?
So it's interesting because the edge of this spot was actually a ravine. And so periodically bones would erode out of it's volcanic ash is what they're in.
Okay.
And so they would erode out of it, but they looked so much like cow bones that people just thought they were cow bones.
Okay.
And they called it Bone Hill. And so, but in 1953, a 17-year-old and his dad actually found a jaw sticking out of the side of this hill. And so they called the museum and the museum came and they took the skull and it was a rhinoceros skull, an entire completely intact rhinoceros skull.
No way.
That's incredible.
Yeah. What a find.
Yes. And then it was later in 1971 that a geologist, Mike Voorhees was his name, was in the area and he found another jaw eroding out and he collected a skull of a baby rhino and could see the vertebrae. So he knew there was more back in the hillside. So he came back a few years later and they did have to dig down because this was coming out of the middle of this hillside. So they actually had to bring in a bulldozer and scrape off, I can't remember how much it was, like 10 or 12 feet of dirt and rock and soil in order to get down to where the animals were.
And then they found tons of them.
Tons of them. Yeah. So they went to try to get this one baby rhino out and they kept running into other bones for other animals.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So the way you're describing this, I have never heard of this spot before. And I live in the state next door in Colorado. Ah. And I'm kind of a geek. However, I do know of the mammoth site in South Dakota. Uh-huh. Where they found a lot of mammoth fossils all in the same spot. And they think it was some sort of maybe a mud hole where all of the animals were trapped there. Is this a similar type of site?
They weren't trapped in mud like those mammoths probably were. So these animals were coming to what we know was a water hole. So a water hole is different
okay.
from a pond or a lake because it dries up part of the year. It
okay.
fills
okay.
with water during when it's rainy and then it dries up. But so it's a kind of a place that animals come to drink. And these are, you know, if you think of African animals, animals walking to find water, same kind of thing.
Sure.
Right? So they were coming to this place. And what happened was there was a super volcanic eruption. And
what?
There's not a volcano in Nebraska or Colorado for that.
That was going to be my next question.
So the volcano that erupted was actually in what's now Idaho. So it was 1,000 miles away from this location. It was
My gosh.
Big eruption.
Big eruption. Huge. It dumped ash across the entire United States. And we got about a foot of ash just in Nebraska, across pretty much the whole state.
And how long ago was this?
So this was 12 million years ago.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So the thought is that these animals were probably getting kind of sick because they were breathing in all of this ash and they were coming to this water hole so they could drink or maybe cool off because maybe they had fevers, who knows. And so they kept going into the water, but they just were too sick and they never came out again. And so there are these layers, like the really small, delicate animals with small lungs that were probably breathing in a lot of the ash that was
there. Right.
They died really quickly because they're right on along the bottom. And then you get a little bit bigger animals, like there were these saber-toothed deer that were about the size of a medium-sized dog. And those are in
there.
And then there were horses. There are 5 different kinds of horses that were in there that, you know, the biggest one is the size of a pony. These weren't really big horses.
Right.
You found an ancient zoo.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that.
Very good.
Ancient zoo. You win.
Yep. Yep.
But these were entire skeletons.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All the way through?
All the way through. So you've got the little ones and then the little bit bigger ones. Then you've got the horses and the camels and then the rhinos on top.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Yep.
Wow. So my mind is wrapping itself around this potpourri of animal fossils that if I was a paleontologist, like my brain would just be exploding. So what fascinated you so much about the rhinos that the book that we're going to be talking about in a little while is Rhinos in Nebraska?
So I'm not originally from Nebraska. I'm actually originally from Colorado, Jeff.
Yay.
And so I've lived here 10 years and I just, you know, I grew up in Colorado. There are a lot of dinosaur fossils. And so
yes.
that was kind of familiar to me. And I think a lot of people, when you think fossils, you think dinosaurs.
Yes.
And moving here and going to this place where they actually are digging these out, but leaving them in place so you can see them.
Oh, this is this is a road trip.
That's
the coolest thing to see them in where they died right there.
Yep. Yep, they're all there together and they're still excavating it. But what really got my attention was all of a sudden one day I sort of had this moment where I realized that, wait, these animals that I associate with Africa were running around in my backyard.
Right.
And that was when I was like, wait, hang on a second. How is that possible? And so that was when I decided I needed to write this book.
Oh,
very cool.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. So do they know, I mean, can they guess from here where the rhinos, like what their range was? Do you have any idea? Like, were they all over the U.S. or just in the Midwest? Or
they were in the Great Plains. So
that makes sense.
Section of Central North America and up into Canada too. It wasn't just the U.S. They went up.
Oh yeah, they don't say, oh look, it's a border.
Right.
We don't cross that.
Exactly.
They just go wherever they want.
They do. So again, this, they were around for about 30 million years. They went extinct about 5 million years ago.
Because of the super volcano, or do they know?
No, they locally, they went extinct in the area, but they ended up coming back in from other areas. They migrated in. So they did not go extinct completely.
Okay. So are the rhinos that were in Nebraska, are they the same type of rhino that would be found in Africa? Or is it a different species of rhino?
It's a different species. There were actually two different species, but only one of them is found in this ash bed. So, and they're both totally different from what we have now. And the one that's in the ash bed, we actually know they lived in big herds and they were very social, which is very different from modern rhinos, which are bigger animals. And they're also kind of solitary. They just kind of hang out by themselves most of the time.
Okay.
So, wow. Okay. And I asked you a little bit about this before the show, but so did the rhinos originate here and then move to Africa and Asia, so to speak?
They actually originated in North America. And then during a time when the sea levels were low, the Bering Strait between North America and Asia opened up and they were able to, there was a lot of movement actually back and forth across there in both directions. and that was how they got over to the other side of the world.
And then they settled in Asia and Africa. That's really cool. I never would have believed that rhinos came from North America. Days you just don't associate that with North America.
Right.
At the very beginning of the podcast, we both started off with our guesses would have been Africa for rhinos. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I love how you stated that, no, they were not in zoos. Wow. And this is one of those rhinos in Nebraska. This is one of those things where, you know, I'm originally from Boston and you think about the middle of the country and you don't always think about the most fascinating things, the most fascinating parts of America being in that giant middle. But you said this whole site is open. They are excavating so that you can see them and they're still digging. This sounds awesome. Like a stop I need to go to. Jen, did you say road trip earlier?
Yes, I did. I said road trip. It just sounds amazing. So what other animals did they find in here besides rhinos? Do you know?
So there are a couple of different kinds of camels. And one is actually called a giraffe camel because it has a very, very long neck like a giraffe.
I've never heard of those. I assume those are also like ancient 12 billion years ago.
Yeah, they don't exist anymore. There were horses. There were different kinds of horses. Many of them had three toes. So horses used to have more toes than they do now.
What?
And actually one of the species, they were in the process of losing the toes. So some had three toes and some had just little tiny side toes and some only had one, even though we know they were the same species because the skulls were the same.
Okay. Oh, right now is when I wish all of our listeners could see the video of us talking to Dr. Allison, because Jen and I have our mouths hanging wide open that this one spot in the middle of Nebraska has all of these animals that we have never heard of.
Right. That's just amazing. Okay. So now I have to ask, so you are a zoologist. Have you always been have you always picked a species or do you just kind of follow whichever ones you think are cool? What do you do as a zoologist?
As a researcher or as a writer? Because those are very different.
Both. Give me both. Start with one and go to the other.
Well, so as a researcher, some people pick a species and stick with it. And other people just have questions that they find really interesting. And whatever species they use are the ones that are best for answering that question.
So
I have a friend who studies spiders, for example. But it's not because she likes spiders. She thinks they're super cool. But she didn't pick them because she wanted to study spiders. She picked them because they worked really well for the question. She was really interested in asking. For writing, I write about either what people ask me to write about, if it's something, you know, for magazines and website things, it's whatever they ask me to do. But sometimes, like with this one, there's a story that just grabs me and I just feel like it needs to be told.
Wow. I am super glad that this story grabbed you because I really do live in the state next door. I have never heard of this and can't wait to learn more.
You need to go see it.
Yeah.
You definitely need to take a trip.
So tell us some fun facts about the rhinos. Like how big were these ancient rhinos? You said they were smaller. Do you know, like compared to a horse, bigger than a horse?
Horse, cow?
Smaller. Well, I would say maybe about the size of a cow. I'm trying to think. They might be smaller than some of the cows, actually. They were really not super, super big.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I think that would be weird to see.
Yeah.
Because we just don't think of rhinos being that small.
Right.
Especially in a big herd of them.
Right.
I think that would be weird to see. Okay. Is the skull. Couldn't think of that word. Do they have the same horn, the same major horn on the front that current rhinos do?
The ones that were in the ash bed, I told you there were two different types. And the ones that were in the ash, yes, they had a horn. But the other ones actually were called hornless rhinos because they did not.
Okay.
Which is also interesting because I never heard of rhinos that didn't have horns. So explain to the kids, or I should say the listeners, how do you know they're the same species? Because you said you looked at their skulls. So does that mean that the skull is what tells you if it's the same species? Or
the skull is usually what's used when you're identifying a species. So if anyone who studies mammals in particular, so I took a mammalogy class when I was in grad school, and you spend a lot of time looking at skulls. So you're looking at things like the teeth. Teeth have all kinds of things that can tell you about that are used to group animals, I should say. But there are also other features like bumps and holes and things that are in the skull that one species might have. So it might be something that you don't even know is there until you look at the skull. And then you see that, oh, like this one has this opening here in the cheek that this other one doesn't. And that's what makes this species different from that species. It can be that subtle of a difference sometimes.
Because usually when you find fossils, you don't find the whole body, right? Like if you find a bone, then you have to figure out which bone it is and where it came from and all that kind of stuff. So I would imagine a lot of paleontology is research and solving a mystery, kind of.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of that. And actually, when they found some of those horses, I told you there were all the different kinds of horses in the ash because they were complete. So there were horses, just like there were rhinos all over, there were herds of horses all over the place.
Oh, wow. Then.
And so they have found lots and lots of horse teeth and bones and foot bones. So they knew there were these three-toed horses running around, and they knew there were different species of these horses running around, but they didn't necessarily know which feet went with which skulls. It wasn't until they found this site and they had complete skeletons that they could say, oh, this foot goes with that skull and this foot goes with that other one. And we have to rearrange everything in the collections because we got it all wrong.
So the ashfall fossil bed just became the photo on the front of your puzzle box.
Yes.
Right.
That everybody else could go by.
Yep.
Well, no, I want to talk about that because we've talked about this on the podcast too, about how science changes and it can change based on new discoveries. And what you think is right for years and years and years, something can get literally unearthed here. And then we change what we're looking at. I mean, that's one thing that I like to tell our listeners and impress upon them about is that science changes. And I think that that's an important part. And nobody is like, hey, you were wrong, right?
Right.
That's not the point.
Nope.
Yes, exactly.
So with your book, Rhinos in Nebraska, I just want to make sure I got this straight. So you have a super volcano 1,000 miles away.
Yep.
Erupting and exploding, covering up all of these animals, 4 states away, half the continent away, killing them all in this area where all of these full head-to-toe fossils are being found in all of these animals, a half a dozen of which Jen and I have never heard of before this episode. And all of this got started with a teenager walking around with his dad, finding a fossil out in the middle of Nebraska. This is the adventure story you're telling here?
Well, he was the first one. I mean, the one who actually figured out that all of these skeletons were on the hillside is the scientist who came along later.
Right. Okay.
But that teenager did find the first skull.
Yeah.
We need this book out there.
Yeah.
This is nonfiction.
Yeah. It is.
Like nonfiction. Everything I just said, it sounds like a fiction book.
Sounds like a great movie.
Pitched. Yeah. Yeah.
Could be. Hint, hint, people. But, you know. No, the book is already out and it's by, who is your publisher, Allison?
Henry Holt.
Henry Holt. Yeah. So the book is available now, right? You can get it.
It is. And it'll be an audiobook in a couple of weeks.
So. Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah. Yay.
So for your road trip, you can listen.
There you go. So
excellent.
The full title is Rhinos in Nebraska, The Amazing Discovery of the Ashfall Fossil Beds. And it has a really, the cover is really amazing. I mean, you can't see it now, but we will definitely put it on our website and check it out, because I think that this is like a must read, because it's so cool to have, first of all, kids help discover this, right? I mean, initially, but also just think about what a fun family trip this would be, right? To go see the science out there in the world and just be a part of that.
I can imagine kids, if you go out to visit, kids are wanting to maybe go hike around and see what else they could find that's in the area that somebody hasn't found yet. Now, I do have to own up to something. I just put it together when Jen read the subtitle of that book, The Ash Fall Fossil Beds. It's where the ash from the volcano fell. Totally didn't get that until just now.
It's okay. But yeah, I think this is an amazing story. Now, because we were talking about kids, and what we like to ask all of our guests to do is give our listeners a challenge. So do you have a challenge for them, Dr. Allison, about something related to your book or animals or fossils or something?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think is really cool is that we were able to figure out from all of these rhinos in one place that they were social animals. So I'm interested in that behavioral side of things. So I challenge kids to go outside and watch an animal and see what it does. What is its behavior and why is it doing what it's doing? And maybe even pay attention to the kinds of body parts that it uses in doing it. Is it using its tail or its wings or its feet or its mouth? And how is it using them?
This is where you use the science journaling. Remember that we've talked about before. Yes, I had to say that.
Yes. Write about it in your journal, draw pictures, all those things. Absolutely.
Yes. Now I'm picturing drawing pictures of all of the animals I've never heard of. And what I'm envisioning that the animals in the ashfall fossil bed are going to look like.
Oh, I like that.
Because didn't you say one of them had tusks, like a tusk deer?
There's a saber-toothed deer.
Saber-toothed deer. Never heard of that before.
Oh, that's cool.
There was a three-horned deer. You can draw that one. Where's that third horn go?
Nose? Two on the top and one on the...
It is actually. It's kind of on the snout.
See?
I mean, that's really cool. Now, before we let you go, tell us where everybody can find you, more information about you, your website and stuff, and your books.
So my website is apstevens.com, and you can find access to my books there. You can find them if you just look pretty much anywhere you can find books. I think you can order it. If you order it through my local bookstore, which there's a link to that on my website, you can get a signed copy and a little vial of ash from the ash bed.
Oh, that's cool.
That's now you're just showing off, Dr. Allison. Nicely done.
This has been fabulous. I love learning about all these amazing animals. Thank you so much for being on Solve It for Kids, Dr. Allison.
Thank you for having me. This was great.
Thank you. I really enjoyed this.
Wow. Wasn't that a fun episode, Jen? I know you introduced me as Galactic Space Geek, but I gotta tell you, I am just a geek and I love learning new things all the time. I had no idea that rhinoceros came from North America and they used to live in Nebraska and all over the Midwest.
I know, like that's so cool. I grew up in Illinois and I've never heard these stories before. I think, first of all, I was not kidding about road trip because this is now on my to visit list. And kids, and go to our website, solveitforkids.com, and learn more about this. We'll hopefully have some pictures, or if we can find a video from the ashfall site to put on the website so you can take a look at some of these amazing rhinos. Also, if you do the challenge, don't forget to tag us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We are at KidSolve.
That's right. And we definitely want you to be doing these challenges. Science is way more fun when you get your hands dirty and you get interactive with it. So we want to know the animal behaviors that you are noticing in your neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely. And again, on our website, we'll have a list of books. So you'll be able to find out how to get Dr. Allison's books, but maybe some other books about rhinos or maybe some of the other cool fossils that they found there at this place.
No kidding. All right. So if you enjoyed this one, we hope you join us again for another episode of Solve it for kids.